Hey, what's going on, everybody? Austin Bollinger back here with another exciting episode of the Daily New Year's podcast. And today, I want to talk about energy. Energy is something that we all have, even though some days it doesn't feel like we have much. Some days we have way more than other days. It's always changing. It's always fluctuating with the things that are going on around us. And I don't know about you, but in the last several months with COVID-19 and all the different things going on in the world, I have found my energy to be at an all-time low. So when today's guest reached out to me wanting to talk about energy, I was over the moon excited. I couldn't wait to get her on the Zoom call so we could talk about energy. It was just so timely. I hope it's timely for you. So if you've been experiencing low energy lately, you've been in a funk, can't quite figure out what's going on, we're going to dive into that today. And as you'll soon see when we get into the episode, energy is our most valuable resource, even more so than time, money, anything else really. And we'll dive into that. So joining me today is Stephanie Scheller. She is the founder of Grow Disrupt, a San Antonio-based company that focuses on training organizations and small businesses. She's an accomplished speaker and has been behind the scenes with more than 2,500 companies in the past 5 years to analyze and address their sales, marketing, and internal systems. She is a TEDx speaker, a Forbes 30 Under 30 nominee, a 2020 Woman Business Owner of the Year award recipient, a two-time best-selling author, an entrepreneur, a coach, and a trainer, and she's dedicated to teaching the same skills that have allowed her to build her businesses from scratch and walk away from her corporate job in less than 5 months. So Stephanie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Austin. I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this podcast. When we first chatted, man, we had such synergy. It was awesome. So I know this is going to be a brutally amazing podcast.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And before we dive into what I know is going to be a really exciting discussion on becoming a finisher, how to go from, you know, not necessarily quitting everything you do, but not, you know, seeing everything through to the end. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about your energy advantage. But before we dive into all that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what's your story?
Yeah. So my story, I always ask people, I'm like, how far do you want me to back this up? You want me to tell you the story of the little 7-year-old who, you know, was like, wouldn't get off stage and apparently mom had to pull me off stage, or you got the high schooler who desperately wanted to work with horses, which led to me going off to college to work with horses, graduating and realizing I couldn't afford to work in my field because I had too much in student loans. And so I had to go for plan B and just trying to figure out, you know, what the heck is plan B. And I realized I love marketing. And so I wanted to get into marketing, and I saw this ad in the newspaper that I just thought was perfect. And it said, do you enjoy working with small businesses to design creative marketing solutions on a shoestring budget? Do you enjoy, you know, all, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just me in an ad. So that's, I apply, awesome. I get the job. 2 weeks in, I realized I was a sales rep. It took me 2 weeks of this job to realize I was in sales. Once I kind of like became okay with that, I actually did very well with them for 3 years. But I remember driving home from work one day. I remember exactly where I was on the drive home from work and having just like a little breakdown. Traffic was worse than normal that day. And I just remember I broke down and I just started crying because all the way through high school and junior high, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I was going to be like, out of all of my friends, right? Everyone else had the dream to go, you know, get a job, go to college, graduate, get a job, live there, you know, work there 40 years, retire. I always wanted to run a business. I wanted to own my own barn. I always wanted this. And out of all of my friends, I was the only one who ended up in like a 9-to-5 job.
Oh, bummer.
Like all of them started businesses or did all this other stuff. And I'm sitting here and I'm crying on the freeway trying to get home going, how did this happen? Like, how did I get to this point this is not what I wanted to do with my life. What do I do? And it was when I really first started like taking a really serious look and really going, okay, well, what options do I have? Do I have another option? And I tried, you know, working a couple of network marketing companies, never got passionate about those. Then I found the sales training in 2014. Yeah, 2014. And whole long story there, but I flew out to get trained as a sales trainer. Things had gone downhill with my corporate job. They weren't paying my commission check. I wasn't happy. So I go, I get trained on how to be a sales trainer. And I realized I really did love this, like the psychology side of sales. I really, really loved that. And so when I found something I did love and that I was passionate about, I built the business up from scratch in 4 months. I turned in my 2 weeks notice. Exactly 4 months into starting the business.
That's incredible.
Because I'd made more money part-time than full-time. Like, why would you go back to work the next day if that was the case?
Yeah.
So I turned in my 2 weeks notice. I walked away. I started running a sales training practice. And then that shifted into what we do now, which is designing and hosting events for small businesses to give them the tools they need to grow.
That's fantastic. There's a lot of stuff that you said in there that I think we could definitely dive into. But it's funny, you know, I'm in my early 30s. I'm 32 right now and kind of going through some career path changes. My wife is 32. She's doing the same thing. And I'm talking to people that I went to high school with and they're doing the same thing. So it's so interesting. You talked about high school and all the things that you wanted to do. There's so much pressure on us at a young age to try to figure out our whole lives and to figure out what we want a degree in and figure out what we're going to, and you know, it's cool that you did a 180 and just went a completely different direction. And I don't know, can you talk a little bit about that and what gave you the courage to do it? And have you ever looked back at all?
You know, I do look back and I have people who ask me all the time, you know, Stephanie, would you change anything? And I'm one of those people that I believe I am where I am today because of how things lined up, right? So I can see how things lined up, that, you know, driving home from work and just being in tears. And that was back in 2012. It was summer, but just being in tears. And that was what motivated me to really get serious about starting to save some money and starting to build a business. And, you know, I can look back on the moment I called my mom in tears because my corporate job decided they weren't going to pay my paycheck anymore. And well, they were going to pay the paycheck. They weren't going to pay the commission check. And I just had this absolute breakdown where I was like, this is like, they started screwing with my commission check in September 2013. I called her in March 2014. I was like, I'm done. Like, they've just told me for like the 6 month in a row, they're not going to pay my commission check again. I don't know what to do. And so I look at all these little things and like, so I look back, but I wouldn't change it because all of those things, right? Even some of the lessons I've learned now that have made my life a lot easier, like calm down, relax, don't stress so much. I wouldn't go back. First of all, I was joking about this with someone yesterday. I said, I wouldn't go back and tell younger Stephanie that because she wouldn't listen anyhow. So like be a waste of breath. But you know, you have to go through all those things to get to where you are. So yes, I do look back. And I definitely look back with compassion because I know there was times when, you know, younger Stephanie was not happy and I feel for her. I feel for that, having to go through that, but it's like the feeling for a kid and you know, your kid has to learn this lesson. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to intervene. So it's kind of that like hard, you know, I mean, I can't intervene. I don't have those skills anyhow, but,
yeah. But well, you mentioned not going back and telling younger Stephanie, cause she wouldn't listen anyway. I think that's such a good point because we all have good advice to share with people. But if someone's not ready to hear a message, they're just not, you can't force that on somebody. Yeah. So
no.
What, so if somebody is listening and they find themselves at a similar point in their life, maybe they've graduated high school with dreams, they've gone to college, they've started in their career path and they just do not like where they are. They're miserable. They want to consider changing a path, but they just feel like they're too invested in the path they're on. What advice would you give somebody like that? Because there's something called the sunk cost fallacy, right? Where it's like, I've got 10 years invested in this. If I walk away now, it's all a waste. But if you keep investing more years into something you don't like, you just keep sinking more time into it. So that's a long question, but what advice do you have around that?
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you brought up the sunk cost fallacy, because that's exactly where I was going to go with that. Because we do, it's this whole, I remember in biology, in high school biology, the book, the instructor was talking about how, you know, just, he was talking about sunk cost fallacy when you're running an experiment. He said, look, just because you've run your experiment for a year trying to prove a point, if you realize at some point that that point is not viable, don't keep running the experiment, like move on. And he used the thing, he said, you ever been at the grocery store and you're standing in line and you have the skill, right? The skill, you choose the line that doesn't move.
Right.
So you're standing there in line, and you're standing there and you see the line next to you opening. And in that moment, what goes through your head is, I've stood in this line for so long, it has to move. I'm sure I can't get over there fast enough, so I'm just going to stay here. And he said, that is the sunk cost fallacy, right? But here's the thing. Think about, like, people ask, what's the meaning of life? Okay, everyone's trying to figure out what's the meaning of life. The meaning of life, as far as I can tell, is that, you know, to live, like live life that you enjoy. So if you spent 10 years pursuing something and you are realizing that, you know what, maybe you even enjoyed the first 2 or 3 years, right? Maybe the whole 10 years didn't suck. Probably the whole 10 years didn't suck. I mean, when I started, you asked me, like, going through, I was, you know, didn't get to answer that part, but you asked me, you know, how did you go through that 180 of working a job and then switching to be an entrepreneur? You know, when I first started working for them, it didn't suck, right? I had about 6 weeks where it did suck, where I was trying to figure out how do I want to be a sales rep. But once I hit my groove and I was good at sales, like I enjoyed it. It didn't really start to suck until about, you know, September of 2013 is when it really started sucking. And so, you know, if you've put 10 years in, the whole thing may not have sucked. And you've probably picked up skill sets, but you got to ask yourself a question. If I keep going down the path I'm at, what happens, right? Maybe your answer is, well, I'm miserable for another 5 years, but then I get to hit this level and life's going to be great then. Okay, so like if the purpose of life is to live and enjoy your life and you've been miserable for 3 years, are you really cool with being miserable for another five? Like, and are you guaranteed to hit that level that you're aiming for? You know, if you're not, there's nothing wrong with changing your direction and changing your goal. I use a Zig Ziglar quote all the time. He says that what you will get by reaching your goal is not nearly as important as what you will get by reaching for your goal.
I love that.
And so he says, look, think about life and goals like a big, long tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel, you've seen Scooby-Doo, right? We've all seen a Scooby-Doo episode. It's like a classic rite of passage type of thing. Okay. And in every Scooby-Doo episode, there's a scene where there's a chase scene. They're all running in and out of doors, right? You know, Scooby and Shaggy come in one door and then all of a sudden they're popping out another door that's completely unrelated and the monster, like everyone's going, right? Well, that's kind of what your hallway is here, right? Down at the end of the hallway, you've got your dream, but along the way, there's all these doors. As you take action and move towards your goals, all of a sudden, you can actually see what's in the room to your right and what's in the room to your left. Now, you can't see what's in the other rooms yet. You haven't gotten that far.
Right.
So as you step forward, you may look to your right, you may look to your left, and neither one of those may be appealing. That's cool. So you take another step forward towards your goal. You look to your right, you look to your left, and now all of a sudden, you see a direction that's more in line with who you are. And there's nothing wrong. People have this idea that they have to get to the original goal or they're a failure.
Right. But
that's not how life works. If you find a goal that works for you better, you are allowed to shift. Now, I do encourage you don't shift too quickly, because you'll see people who will, that's where I was, right? When I was, you mentioned the finisher, not a quitter, not a finisher, right? That's where I was for years, where I would jump from thing to thing to thing. So I tell people, you know, stick with it, commit to doing something. But as you're moving towards it, you may realize there's a better option that fits who you are. And that may be the exact road you're on right now, where you're sitting here going, okay, this goal I've been working towards is not for me anymore. And I want you to understand it's okay to turn your head and change direction.
Yeah, it's a great point. I talk about that a lot, that obviously when we set goals, we want to achieve them. But if you are just stubbornly pursuing a goal because you set it and you're no longer passionate about it or energized by it or fulfilled by it, it's totally okay to ditch that and go on to something else. I always tell people, though, you have to find closure. Make sure you sit down and analyze, why am I quitting on this goal? Because like you said, if you quit just because it gets hard, or you know, you lose interest, that goal is always going to kind of be nagging at you. So you mentioned it. I want to dive into it. You went through a period where you did start and stop a lot of different things. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah. So what was funny was I had this period. So I start my corporate job 2011, January 2012, my parents come to me and they're like, hey, we're going to this really cool event. You need to come. It's in San Antonio. Take some days off. Come, you know, which is where I live. Come. So I take days off. I go to this event, and about halfway through the year, I started to have this realization that And like I referenced, right, I didn't call myself a quitter, but I wasn't a finisher. So like I all of a sudden I looked around and I was like, I've got half finished paintings everywhere. So I like to paint. It's my escape. I've got half finished paintings everywhere. I don't have a finished painting anywhere. I've got half finished paintings. I've got a halfway crocheted blanket. I've got a halfway written book. I've got multiple half written books. Okay. I'm not a finisher. Right. And I didn't look at myself as a quitter. Because to me, quitters were bad. I was raised to believe quitters were bad, which is, you know, not necessarily true. Depends on the situation. But you know, being a quitter is not necessarily a bad thing. But at the time I was like, oh, I'm not a quitter. I'm just not a finisher. And the reality is, I mean, I didn't quit on any one of those things. I never finished them. Right. I was still working on it.
You never decidedly said, okay, I'm done with this.
Right. Which is actually worse, because now you got all these projects that are dragging on you. And so I had this, I just said, you know what? I need to build this skill set. Okay. I need to start finishing some stuff, because I had a realization that I was never going to get to where I was, where I wanted to be, if I continued quitting on everything. If I continued dropping the ball, if I continued, you know, not quitting, but not finishing, right? So I realized, you know, I had network marketing companies I started, but I didn't really finish. Again, I didn't quit, right? I never officially quit them. I just kind of trailed off to the point where it wasn't making any money and, you know, wasn't attending the groups, but they would still call me, right? And I'd be like, yeah, I'm totally there, but I wouldn't, right? And the problem with that is, you know, our brain is actually fed about 2 million bits of information per second from our senses. So you're hearing, right now you and I are both sitting in chairs. Okay. Our brain is processing the feel of this chair, right? The brain is listening for whether or not that chair starts to creak and maybe fall apart, just in case it needs to catch us. Our brain's processing ridiculous amounts of info. We're aware of approximately 126 bits of those 2 million, which is a tiny fraction.
Yeah.
And if you're split and you have all these different projects going at once, let's say you have 6 projects going at once, you're going to make a sixth of the progress on them as you would if you would just allow yourself to focus. And so that was what I did. I just said, you know what? I started clearing stuff off my plate that I knew I wasn't going to finish. So the network marketing companies, I went to the guys and I said, look, here's the deal. I'm out. Like, this is clearly not working for me, and I'm going to officially be out now. I finished the blanket. I finished a book. Didn't finish the other books. I don't remember what most of them were. I just remember having like 3 or 4 books go in it at one time, but I did finish one of them. And I just started very slowly working into building that finisher muscle.
That's awesome. I call all the unfinished projects or the abandoned goals or just the forgotten about things energy anchors. And you kind of, the more of those you have, the more lines you have dragging behind you, just kind of weighing you down. All the stuff that, you know, you see the unfinished book and you're like, ah, I got to get back to that one of these days. And then, you know, it weighs you down. And so, yeah, there was a lot of that stuff in my life too. And that's when I started giving myself permission to quit the stuff that I truly didn't want to do. Who knows why I wanted to do them at one point. Maybe I thought it was a good idea briefly, or maybe someone else was doing it and I thought it was cool and they were doing it, so I wanted to do it. And so I just had all these things. But yeah, so when you go from not being a quitter, but from somebody who starts far too many things and never sees them through, to becoming a finisher, what are some of the perks that come along with that? I'm struggling to find a good word, but what are some of the payoffs from that?
Well, so first of all, you get a sense of accomplishment when you actually do finish something. I mean, when I finished that blanket that I crocheted, I mean, there was just this massive sense of like, oh my gosh, like I actually did this. This is cool. It really made me want to finish another one. I've never even picked up the needles again, but I did finish the one. But what I think is really the biggest perk or benefit is what happens is you start to create momentum.
Yeah.
And so you go from, you finish one thing, right? And this is what you can pick something small to finish on, right? I don't actually recommend anyone try and finish a book as their first project to actually finish, because it's kind of a big project. Yeah. But you know, you pick something small and you start to get what happens is you actually get this release of this beautiful cocktail of hormones, all of the love, happy hormones releases in your brain. So you get the oxytocin, you get the, you know, all of these great ones. And so your brain actually starts to chase that high once you've experienced it. Once you realize I can get this high by finishing a project.
Right.
Your brain actually starts to chase it. And so now what happens is your brain actually rewires itself to focus on how do I get the next high? Now this is where you also have to be careful, right? Because you don't want to just become an addict and be chasing the next high. But you create momentum because your brain starts looking, actively, subconsciously looking for ways to get to that high.
Yeah. And so many of us get those hits of dopamine and all these different things from, you know, social media and our phones. And I know there's been a lot of studies around that, but those are such short lived, you know, hits of dopamine and things. But when I finished my book, I just had this overwhelming sense of accomplishment. I mean, it took me a year to write and just, you know, and sometimes it's a little draining. Sometimes it's a little tired to work on a huge project, one huge project for a whole year. Yeah. So you do get that. I break it down into milestones. So when I was writing my book, I had this huge surge of energy when I got my rough draft done and when I got my second round of edits done and when I got my cover designed. And so, you know, you get these huge surges of energy. And now I know going into my next project, it's going to be the same thing, to your point. Momentum is so important. I think people who start and quit or start and stop, whether they want to call it quitting or stopping or pausing,
or strategic not finishing,
or not finishing, man, they don't get the benefits. They don't see that momentum. So it might be hard to imagine, but momentum is hugely critical, especially with goal setting.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can build a business without creating momentum. Because if you're constantly starting and stopping, which is exactly what I was doing when I tried to build those network marketing businesses, it was a constant start and stop, start and stop, start and stop. And it kills your momentum. And the problem is, think about you kind of like a car. So you got this gas tank, right? And every time you hit the gas pedal, you burn some of that gas. Mm-hmm. Well, sooner or later, you're going to run out of gas. And most of us don't know how to refill that gas tank for something. So if you are constantly having to start and stop the gas tank, right, or start and stop the car, you're going to run out of gas quicker and you're going to be even less likely to finish long term. And so the momentum, you know, you're going to spend less gas staying at 60 miles an hour than you will getting to 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that's the key for building the business. It's all about energy conservation.
Yeah. And it's not just business. It's every area of our lives, right? Whether it's a side hobby or a passion or, you know, a side business you're trying to start up while still working your main business. Yeah. If you work for someone else and you've got certain goals at work, keeping momentum towards those. A lot of times our bosses don't let us keep momentum either. You know, a boss might change objectives daily or weekly. And so we can see how momentum plays a huge role. So what advice would you give somebody who's been struggling for a long time to finish something? What's the one takeaway, the one tip that you would give them today?
I would say find something small to finish. So maybe it's a piece of the overarching project. Like you said, right? When you wrote your book, you weren't just aiming for the finished book. It was, let me get the first draft. Let me get the, you know, so find something small, find a milestone to get to and give yourself, or you know what, here's the deal. We're actually really bad at doing this for ourselves. So I am going to give you, if you're listening to this, I am giving you permission to celebrate when you hit that milestone.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you guys are anything like me, I'm terrible. I hit a milestone and I'm like, well, but I could have gotten here faster. I should have gotten further, or there's the next milestone, right? That voice in the back of your head that won't shut up. So You know what? You don't need to give yourself permission. I'm going to give you permission. If you set a small goal and celebrate when you get there. And you know what? You post on social media and you say, look, I hit this goal and I know it wasn't big, but damn, I'm proud of it.
Absolutely.
And that's it. You know, just have, but here's the thing. If you're going to post to social media, post for yourself. Right? Post it so that it's in your memories so that you can remember that accomplishing that. Don't post for the likes. If the likes come, great, but post it for yourself.
Yeah. It's more just than something anything else. Yeah. You're putting it out there in the world just because.
Yeah. But small steps. Think of this like a you know, I've referenced this a couple of times. Think of this like a muscle in the gym. You know, first time you go to the gym, I use this analogy all the time, right? We've all been to the gym and the first time you walk in, it's like super overwhelming. And there's all these machines. You can't figure out what the heck 99% of them do. There's, you know, the cardio. So you go walk on the treadmill for a little while. And then you see in the back room, the back of the wall, there's the free weights. So you go over there and you're trying to do like some bicep curls, and those 20 pound weights are a lot heavier than you thought they were going to be. So you put those back and you go and you grab like the 10 pound weights. And so you're sitting there doing your 10 pound weights, right? And you're doing your curls and you're really proud because you know what? I made it to the gym and I'm here, and at least these aren't the 5 pound weights. Like we're getting somewhere. And I don't know why all the gyms do this, but they all put the 10 pound, 5 pound, 20 pound weights right on top of like the 175, 90 pound, right? All the big ones. So you're standing there with your weights, right? And some guy with biceps as big as your freaking face walks over and he picks up the 100 pounds and he's like doing his, he's going, you know, and then all of a sudden he stops and he looks over at you and he gives you like that jutting chin up, like, hey. And he goes back, right? And you're just sitting there like, I'm going to take my weights and go home. Like, it's so demoralizing. And building your finishing muscle is just like that. The first time that guy went to the gym, he wasn't on the 100 pounders. He probably wasn't. He was probably on the 10 pounders like you, but he showed up consistently, right? He set small milestones and small landmarks to get to. And that's what you've got to do as well. And you'll build this muscle and all of a sudden you're going to find that you can finish bigger projects easier because you've built the muscle. Just like that guy can move the bigger weights easier because he's built his muscle too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Over time, you get better at everything if you consistently show up.
Yeah.
So we've talked about energy a couple times throughout the podcast so far. I've talked about energy anchors. We've talked about how to maintain energy. I know you have something called the energy advantage.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. This is my jam, man. I am on a crusade right now to help small businesses realize that their greatest asset is not their time and it's not their money. We've been lied to. Everyone's been told that money's not your greatest asset. You can get more money, but you can't get more time. Okay. Which is actually a total lie, because you can take some money and pay someone to do something, and then you get the result without having to put the time in. But what I've learned is that the greatest asset we have is actually our energy, because we have all had an evening somewhere along our lifetime where we were just like wiped out. Mm-hmm. And you had time, you had 2, 3, 4 hours, and all you could do was sit your butt on the couch and watch TV and crash. And you had no energy. So in that case, the time wasn't really valuable. So to me, your greatest asset is your energy, which, if you think about this, okay, with assets, we invest them to create a greater return, which means we need to do this with our energy too. We need to invest our energy into things that generates energy for us. We need to do stuff that gets us excited. And then the stuff that drains us, we all have things we do that we just hate doing. You know, cleaning the cat's litter box. I don't know anyone who gets excited and it's like, oh my God, I get to clean the litter box today.
Right.
No one jumps around for that one. That's an energy sucker. It sucks your energy away. And we only have energy is at some level limitless, but you've got to be putting it into the things that bring energy back. And so the energy advantage is all about finding the stuff that you do that takes your energy and creates return for you, and finding the stuff that sucks your energy away and pulling it off your plate. Outsource it. Find someone, you know, I said no one wakes up and gets excited about freaking cleaning the cat's litter box, but I guarantee there is someone out there who actually does.
Yeah.
Like someone loves that.
Yeah, because it gives a sense of cleanliness, or, you know, there's probably somebody who likes it and has a good, valid reason for it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. It's absolutely not me. So I don't know what their valid reason is. If that is you, shoot me a message. I would love to know. I will use you as an example, but it's not me. So I've spent the past few years running this energy advantage exercise. So what I do is once a quarter, we've gotten to where I do it about once every 6 months now. It used to be once a quarter. I'll list out literally everything I'm doing. I mean, and this will take me several days because you can never remember everything until it's like,
yeah, jot it down while you're doing it.
Yeah. So I'll take several days and I'm just writing, I'm creating a big long list. I mean, we're talking like 2 or 3 pages of content of what all I'm doing. And then I sit down and I rank everything, and they all get ranked 1, 2, 3, or 4. Fours are things that do not generate energy and they do not generate revenue. They don't give me energy. They don't make me money. Threes are things that generate revenue, but not energy. Twos are things that generate energy, but not revenue. And ones are things that generate revenue and generate energy. So you rank everything 1 through 4, and the fours need to come off your plate like now. Okay. If it's not making you money and it's not giving you energy, get it off. And I use cleaning the house as an example. Like for a long time, I thought that cleaning the house was a number two. Doesn't give me revenue, but it does give me energy. Cause when I would finish cleaning the house, I would have this like sense of like, right. This feels good. But I realized that it was just having a clean house that did that for me. And I could get that by paying someone else.
Yes. So. It's having the clean house. My wife and I dread cleaning the house for, you know, weeks. And then you finally like, all right, we have to do it. And you feel that at the end because it's finally done, not because you enjoyed the doing it.
Right. Exactly. So I realized when I had this realization of like, because my coach was actually the one who pointed it out, because I had it marked as a 2. And he was like, seriously, you like cleaning the house. It gives you it. I was like, yeah, it gives me energy. Like when I'm done, it feels good. He was like, do me a favor, hire someone to come clean the house for you just once, just a one-off, see how it feels. And I was like, oh my God, I get the exact same feeling. Yeah, I'm never cleaning the house again. So I, you know, I hire someone else to come in to clean the house for me every 2 weeks because I'm like, it's not worth it. So we just started. All the fours came off my plate almost instantly. Not, you know, not there's always a couple things that you're like, I can't get rid of this yet. Threes, you want to start looking at, can I outsource this fairly quickly, right? Can I outsource this for less than it produces for me? And you also want to look at like how much time it takes. So threes are things that produce revenue, but not energy. So for example, for me, running credit cards, like when I close a sale, running a credit card, it's a three. It produces revenue, obviously, because you're in the card and money shows up in your account. It's really exciting. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't give me any energy. But I didn't outsource it for a long, long time because it was also like a grand total of, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes a week, like not yeah. even. So when you're talking about minuscule, I mean, we were talking, I don't even spend it. I spend probably less than 10 minutes a week on it. So when you're talking about such a small amount of time, right, is that worth it? You got to make that judgment call. For everyone, it's going to be different. For me, for a long time, wasn't worth it. Right? It was such a small amount of time. It wasn't worth putting that on someone else. It wasn't worth giving someone else access to our processor and all that stuff. But you sit there, fours go, threes go. You want to live inside your ones and your twos. And the reason you do this every quarter or every 6 months is because you'll find that some stuff you can't outsource right away. But the longer you have to put that on your list and you keep ranking it as a four, it starts to rankle. And you're like, yeah, this thing has got to go. And you find a way to get it off your plate.
Yeah. Now, I love this. I love the whole ranking system because, and I love talking about energy because I have this debate with so many people. You know, I wouldn't classify myself as a high performer. People have used that term. You know, I'm up at 4 a.m. I'm writing books. I'm doing podcasts. I'm going to the gym 5 days a week. And for a lot of people, they say, I don't know how you do all that. That would wear me out. And so I always argue with people that getting up early and working on my podcast, my blog, and all these things gives me energy because I love doing them so much. Yeah. Going to the gym gives me energy because it makes me feel better about myself. I actually feel worse and get a little moody and sad if I'm not getting the hormones from working out. And so I've been trying to find a good way to articulate this for so long that some things give you energy, even though you have to work towards them. And some things can, you know, sap your energy without even requiring much effort, just because it's a mental drag. It's a mental drain. When we first chatted about this a few weeks ago, and you said time and money are not the most valuable resources, I almost said, I disagree, because I've always thought time is the one thing we can't get more of. Mm-hmm. And so I always thought that was the most, but then you followed it up with energy. And I'm like, holy crap, she's right. That is the most valuable thing. Because like you said, if you're drained all the time in the world's not going to matter. It's going to be worthless.
Yeah. Well, you think about all the people who work jobs. They work 40, 50 hours a week, maybe 60. But I mean, let's be real. There's 168 hours in a week, right? I think 24 times 7. Yeah, 168. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're working 60 hours a week. Let's include 10 hours of commute time. Okay. So that still gives you 108 hours a week. Like, what are you people doing with this time? And the people who are sitting here saying, I'm exhausted, I'm drained, you know, that's because they're not putting their energy into the stuff that gives them energy. They're putting it into the stuff that wears them out. And so they sit here and of course they look at someone like you and like me and are like, oh my God, I could never do what you do. You're right. You couldn't. You're going to have to grow and become a new person, become a different person to be able to do what people like you and I do. But that's humans.
Truth bombs going off.
Right? Over the place.
Yeah. But you, as you know yourself today, that's a good point. You, as you know yourself today and the situation and the circumstances that you find yourself in, probably couldn't. But to your point, you got to grow into someone new, change your circumstances. Yeah. I think for a lot of people, unfortunately, the thing that drains most of their energy is not some tasks that they do at their job. It's their entire job. There's no part of it that gives them energy, the whole thing. And so I can't personally imagine spending 8, 9, 10 hours a day at a job that just drains my energy. Mm. But I think if that's you out there, I would take a step back and try to find a way to change that situation. Maybe scary, it may be hard, but I can't imagine spending 40 or 50 years of my life with a job that's just sucking my energy and just draining me down.
That's you know, your job is a third of your week.
Yeah.
I mean, your job is a third of your life. You can't, people can't tell me that you're going to hate a third of your life. Like at that point, what's the point? You're seriously only living for the other two thirds of your life. Like that to me doesn't sound, now to me, that doesn't sound worth it because I live a life where I love 99% of what happens, right? None of us are at the point. Anyone who claims that they love everything that happens in their life is lying, or has reached a higher level of enlightenment than I have. but you know, if your life's that, and you may have to start with doing something small and low energy, and you say, you know what, I'm going to spend 5 minutes working out, or I'm going to spend 5 minutes painting, right? For me, painting is one of those things that's really low energy expense, but it creates a lot of energy for me. It really brings a lot out in me. And so maybe you spend half an hour painting in the evening and you're exhausted and you'd rather watch TV, and you say, you know what, I told myself I was going to invest my energy into something that gives me energy. So I'm going to paint. And you spend a half hour, but it will give you more energy the next day. You'll be excited to get home so you can get back to finishing your painting, and it starts to build. So yeah, there are people out there who legitimately like cannot wrap their heads around what we're talking about right now, because they're like, you don't understand, I'm exhausted. Or they're sitting here saying, well, you know, I work a full-time job and then I go work a part-time job. Okay, so, you know, we're actually not talking 40, 50 hours a week. We're talking 90 hours a week. It's still doable. I mean, when I built the business from scratch, I was working 50 hours a week at my corporate job. I was then working another 15 hours a week running a dojo. And then I was working another 30 hours a week on building the business. So it is possible. You just have to start being really smart about where you put the energy.
Yeah. And I think you have to find a why that really gets you going too. You know, yeah. Like if you don't know why you're doing something or you don't really want to do it, then it's just, again, it's going to be one of those things that doesn't give you energy or it's going to drain your energy. So yeah. Now I love everything that you said there. I'm so glad we got to talk about energy because that's been a hot topic for me lately, especially with COVID going on. I haven't been able to get out into the world as much and do a lot of those energizing things.
Working out.
Yeah, I've been missing the gym horribly and social interaction. So yeah. Even though I've been kind of stuck at home, and a lot of people would see that as restful because it's like, okay, well, you don't have to go out and do this or go out and do that. I've actually felt progressively more tired and more drained through the 2 months of quarantine that I've been in. And yeah. it makes you think about, where does energy come from? It's not always more rest. If that were the case, I'd be feeling on top of the world right now. you know?
It's not sleep. That's the other thing. People are like, well, if I could sleep more, it's really not. As long as you're getting 6.5-7 hours of sleep per night, it really has little to do with that. I mean, 7 to 8 is optimal, but really, unless you're operating at like, you know, 5 hours of sleep per night, 4 hours of sleep per night, you're probably getting enough sleep. What's happening is when you are awake, you're not putting that energy into stuff that really, you're putting that energy into watching the news. Well, I don't know anyone who gets energized watching the news, right?
I don't watch the news because of that, right?
You're on Facebook. Well, Facebook is just another news source at this point, mm-hmm. right? Everyone's sharing news and opinions, and I don't know about you guys, but Facebook drains me.
Yeah, I'm not a big social media fan, but I think when you're in our line of work and you're trying to help people and share, you know, blog posts and podcasts, unfortunately, you kind of have to get out there and promote stuff. But yeah.
You do. You just have to limit it, right? So for me, social media is definitely revenue producing, but it is not energy producing. So that makes it a number three, but it's one of those few things that I've outsourced as much of it as I can, but there are some things that I still do. You know, like for example, Facebook Lives, we haven't figured out how to outsource those from me yet. So I still do the Facebook Live. But you know, we've really worked hard to limit the impact from it. And that I think is the big takeaway, is look at what is draining you. How can you limit or mitigate the impact and take the extra energy you have and start investing it into the things that you love?
Absolutely. So I know we're kind of getting up towards like 50 minutes or so. I want to be respectful of your time, but I always have three kind of quick rapid fire questions at the end that I like to ask everybody. And the first one is, how has goal setting played a role in your life?
Oh my gosh. I would not be where I am today if I hadn't set goals, if I hadn't gotten into goal setting. And I believe that you need to set, you know, long-term goals, short-term goals, intermediate goals, you know, the goals that line up and say, hey, this is where I want to be in 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 1 year, 1 month. Otherwise you're never going to move yourself forward. I think it is one of the most crucial aspects and skill sets. Cause again, this is another muscle you build. I think people think that goal setting is just goal setting. It's not. Goal setting is a muscle. You need to learn how to do it the right way for you, just like you'd need to learn how to lift weights. And I think it is one of the most crucial skill sets an entrepreneur can really learn and master.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. No, goal setting is different for everybody, you know. Yeah. It's completely different. And so if you're struggling with goal setting, try something new, try something different, mm-hmm. try a new spin on it, a new take. So for me, I'm reading about goal setting all the time because it seems like there's so many different strategies, different things that you hear.
It's mind-boggling how many different gurus and possibilities. And yeah, it is. If the methods you've been taught don't work for you, find someone else and learn their methods. You know, there's nothing that says, every single one of us who's out here putting out content and helping to try and provide guidance to others, we're just sharing the best stuff we found that works for us. And this is why, you know, you really can't just have one guru because they're one person you follow, because what works for them may not work for you. So, you know, find someone else. There's so many people out there. There's people who come at this from a psychological perspective, from a tactical perspective. I mean, there's a ton of information.
Absolutely. It can be overwhelming. Yeah. The quick question is, do you have a mantra that you live by or like a daily phrase? And if so, do you mind sharing it with us?
I do. And it's the passion creates action and action creates results. When you find what you're passionate about, when you find what you care about, you will take action on it. You will prioritize it. And when you do that, you will start to see things happen.
I love that. I love that a lot. That's an awesome, awesome mantra to live by. That's a great one.
Yeah.
So if you could ask the listeners to take one action in their lives today, what would that one action be?
I think the one action I would encourage you to do is to start to run what we call the inner CEO meeting every month. So the inner CEO, if you think about the CEO's role in a company, their role is to guide the company through whatever comes their way towards the long-term goals. So their goal is to say, hey, their job is to say, hey, here's where we're going. And I'm gonna help guide us from a high level perspective towards this goal. Well, you are the CEO of your own life. Well, you should be. You may not be. If you are, you should probably have a conversation with who's in that chair. But you should be the CEO of your own life. No one's gonna care about getting you to where you're going quite like you will. And once a month, you need to have a one-on-one, just like you would have a one-on-one with a good manager or a good boss. And you would sit down and talk about, okay, here's what went well, here's what didn't go well, and here's where we're going next. You need to have that sit down with your inner CEO every month and talk about, okay, here's what went well this past month, here's what didn't go so well, and here's where we're going next. And reconnect and have that honest conversation about where you succeeded and where you failed, because you're going to have failures every month. It's part of living as well. And that, if people will start doing that and having that honest conversation, I think it will become life-changing.
That's incredible. Yeah, I like that a lot. And just sitting down and reviewing everything from every angle. I use Michael Hyatt's Full Focus Planner, and his planner kind of guides you through that every Sunday.
Yeah.
Looking back on the week, what were your biggest wins? And I write my biggest wins down every day. You said earlier, celebrate your wins. Nothing will make you feel better about what you've accomplished than celebrating your wins, even if they're super tiny. You know, like you said earlier, it just helps you build momentum. And so I do that every Sunday. I like to reflect back, and it is very energizing. especially when you choose to focus on the good stuff that you have going. Because when you focus on the good gets better. So
it does. That, you know, that's another mantra that I do live by regularly. What you focus on expands.
Yes. So.
Focus on what went well. This is why we, you know, I usually tell people, don't write down what went wrong. Write down what lessons did you learn?
Yes.
You know, as opposed to sitting here and saying, well, I did this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. You say, okay, what lessons did I learn? In your head, you can say, okay, I did this wrong. Well, what did I learn from that? And that's what you write down on the page, because what you focus on expands. I probably say that one as often as passion creates action and action creates results.
Well, it's good. Good to have multiple mantras that all serve you in different ways. I appreciate you sharing several of those with us today.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me on. This was a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on. And I guess the last question I'll ask you is, where can people learn more about you or connect with you?
Probably our company website would be the best option, the www.growdisrupt.com. You know, if you want to connect with me on there, there's options to connect with me. You can also see what we're doing. We have paid events coming up. We have free events coming up. That gets listed there. We have a really cool quiz on, you know, how to figure out what do you need to fix next in your business. There's all kinds of cool resources. So that's probably the best place to go.
Awesome. And I'll drop links to that and to your social and all that good stuff in the show notes. So if you're listening, check out the show notes for links to all of Stephanie's places, websites, all that good stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. So thanks so much again for being on. I hope everybody found tremendous value in this conversation, which I just know that they will, because energy is such a crucial topic.
Absolutely. I fully agree. Thank you again for having me on.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks. You too.
Bye. All right, guys. So there you have it. My conversation with Stephanie Scheller of Grow Disrupt in San Antonio, Texas. Man, I enjoyed this conversation and I hope that you did too. Like I said in my intro, I needed this conversation. My energy has been really just at an all-time low lately. I don't know if it's because of COVID or quarantine or something else entirely. Writing a book last year and publishing that back in February was a huge feat. So maybe I just needed some rest. Maybe my priorities are out of whack. I'm not sure, but I'm going to be taking Stephanie's advice. I'm going to take her energy advantage. I'm going to take the scale, the 1 through 4. I'm going to go through and evaluate my daily schedule, my daily routine, and see which things are, you know, stealing my energy. They're draining me. I'm going to find out what things I dread, what things fuel me, which things, you know, energize me. And hopefully I come out the other side of that with way more energy. And I invite you to do the same. So, you know, like I said, energy is one of the most valuable things that we have, even more so than time, even more so than money. Because even if we have tons of time, tons of money, if we don't have energy, then what is time and what is money worth if we don't have the energy to do the things that we want to do? So if you're feeling drained, if you're feeling low on energy, I invite you to do what I'm going to do. Take an energy audit, see where your energy's going, maybe explore how you can be better investing your energy into things that you enjoy and things that give you a return on that investment, that give you more energy. It's so, so important. And, you know, we also talked today about becoming a finisher. So many of us have things that we've started. We haven't necessarily quit those things, but we haven't finished them either. And that can leave energy anchors in your life. You know, subconsciously, you're thinking about all the things that you haven't finished, all the things that you haven't done. So loop back around, take an audit of those things as well. Get some closure. Did you move on because you were done? Do you need to quit those things? Or can you circle back around and say, you know what, I'm going to finish this thing or that thing? And finishing those things will give you energy too. You'll build momentum in your life. You'll start getting more things done. So anyway, take an energy audit, explore your life, see what things are giving you energy, and do more of that. So if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoyed my conversation with Stephanie, please feel free to share it with your family, friends, coworkers, anybody that's in your circle that you think will enjoy this conversation. And if you have a second, feel free to leave a review on the platform that you're listening on. That helps other people find the episode, helps other people find the show as well. I'd greatly appreciate it. And as always, you know, there's so many ways we could be spending our time and investing our energy. So I'm so grateful that week after week, you guys tune in, listen to the Daily New Year's podcast, listen to the things that my guests and I have to say. And I so, so appreciate it. So until next time, take care.